Everyone, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Amen. We're glad that each one of you have come out today, and we're just celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Want to welcome those that are joining online. We trust that you are in a jubilant spirit. We certainly thank God for our youth and all that they are doing. We thank the Lord for them. And man, we had a turnout yesterday. Awesome turnout. Awesome turnout, and I'm just so grateful for the work that Sean is doing. We want to just thank him for all the leadership that he's doing. Amen. Amen. And as many of you know, that we've completed the book of Proverbs in recent months, and we have some proverbs that were developed by some of the attendees of the Bible study. So those of you that want to join us in Bible study, go to our website and send me an email, and we can hook you up with Bible study. But Reverend Ray wanted me to let you know that we do have some books for those that were in our Bible study, a sort of a summary of all that we've been talking about. So that's available. And you can see him right after service, and you'll get one of our Proverbs of Crossroad. How's that? Sounds really great. Amen. I want to invite your attention on this Easter Sunday as we look at our subject and our theme for today. I want to talk about impossible situations. Impossible situations. It's taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. The King James says he yielded up the ghost. In other words, he died. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. I want to talk about impossible situations. You may be seated. Father, bless us now as we shall share your word. We know that we've studied, but only you and power of your spirit can lead us to deliver the message that you would have us to deliver. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, for the word, and I pray that now that they would converge in my heart, that what comes out of my mouth would glorify and honor you. We want to give you praise and glory for all that you've done on this, the high day of our Christian year, celebration of Jesus. He didn't remain in the grave, but he got up. He rose again. But Lord, as we go through those moments, I pray that you touch our hearts. Encourage our minds as we look to you, the source of all our strength. We humbly ask all of these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to ask you a question. Who's your favorite superhero? Or do you have one? You know, whether you realize it or not, you've got somebody that you call on, that you depend on as a superhero. Whether it's Superman, Batman, Black Panther, or Superwoman, or Wonder Woman, believe it or not, everybody's got a superhero. It may be someone in your family where they always seem to come through. They always seem to find the answer or the solution or some way of helping you in that time of need. I want you to think about superheroes for the very fact that Jesus to us is our superhero, whether you know it or not. When you think about these superheroes, these people that wear the cape, I always wonder, why do they wear a mask? Why wouldn't they want someone to know who they are and what they're doing? But be that as it is, most superheroes wear a mask. My superhero was Betty Mosley Coleman. She didn't wear a mask. She let you know who she was and what she was doing. But I've noticed there are several common themes about them. One is that they always find a way of overcoming their enemy. They could have some dark foe, and they could have someone who poses a great threat, but they always find a way of either outpowering them or out-scheming them. That's a superhero. That's one that you can depend on. Back in the day, there was this even superhero called Mighty Mouse. I have to say back in the day because some of our young folk don't know Mighty who. And Mighty Mouse would simply say, "Here I come to save the day." And he would just swoop in and deliver and do what he needed to do. That was Mighty Mouse. They also find a way of getting out of trouble. You couldn't trap them. You couldn't hem them in. You couldn't keep them back. No force would come against them that would overtake them, because the superhero would find a way of either getting untied or doing something. In the Bible, Samson was a superhero. He was God's man against the Philistines. They would tie Samson up and he would just break the cords as if they were just little threads. Yay, Samson. He could save the day. Samson got tied up, though. And he got tied up to the point where someone cut his hair and he didn't know it. All of a sudden, all of his power was gone. And the enemy did overtake him, but thank God his hair grew back. And our champion came out one more time. That's a superhero. The other thing about a superhero, they always help those that are in need. They are compassionate. They don't just care about themselves. They care about the needs of people and how to help them out of trouble. They come in at the right time. They deliver people at the right time because they have that level of compassion and commitment to those in need. Lord knows we need some superheroes in our world. And I know you're probably asking in your mind, what does this have to do with Easter? Ladies and gentlemen, it has everything to do with Easter. Let me give you the reason why. On Friday, back in the times where the Romans ruled the entire known world, on Friday, they took their superhero of Christians and they nailed him to a tree. Choir just sung about it. Those hands that had worked miracles, those feet that had brought the gospel of Jesus Christ, they nailed him to the tree. They were saying, "Here's what we think about you, Jesus. Here's how we pay tribute to you, Son of God." The devil thought he had him. The enemy thought he had conquered everything because now Jesus was on the cross. But have you ever read about a comic strip or something in the story where you think it's coming to an end and all of a sudden you turn the page and it tells you to be continued? I remember reading about that when I was growing up. I had my favorite superhero comic book, and Bernard, I was reading it intensely. I was involved with it as the enemy was trying to fight against my superhero. I turned the page and lo and behold, it said, "To be continued." In other words, I had to be on pause because back in that day, Jesse, we didn't get to go to town but once a week. If then. And so we would have to wait until we could get the next issue of our comic book. A Friday situation. Then we would run and we'd get that comic book and we would buy it and we would open it up and then Sister Knight, we would just wait and to turn the page, and sure enough, our superhero came through. He did something that we had never expected. He really made the day. But here was Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, on a cruel cross. And the Bible says that he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. The world was asking, what are we doing now? What are we going to do now? Our one that we depended on, he is now gone from us. Why? How are we going to make it? Impossible situation. There was Jesus, the anointed of God, God's only begotten Son, the Savior of sinners, the Prince of Peace, the ruler of the world, hanging on a tree. But I tell you what, it's to be continued. This has everything to do with Easter, because with some, Jesus Christ doesn't really mean a whole lot, because people have not read, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. They only know that he just died. They only know that he was on a cross, and yes, they say he rose again, but they don't know. It's not a reality to them, because they really don't see the need for a superhero. Well, let me tell you why he died, and then I'll tell you that he has risen. He died because there was nothing else that could satisfy the justice of God except that he be upon a cross, that he bear your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. He had to die. One made a comment on that day when he was around the cross and many were railing on him. Hey, if you be the Son of God, why don't you just come down from the cross? Then someone made a comment and recorded by Matthew in chapter 27, verse 42. It says this: he saved others, but himself he cannot save. Think about that. He saved the blind man, gave him his sight back. Superhero. He saved the lame man and made him walk again. Superhero. One family was coming out of a town called Nain. Widow was weeping because her only son had died. And here comes Jesus. Superhero. Raised the son from the dead. Delivered him back to his mother. And they had great joy because they had a superhero. Now he is on a cross, and they are saying he saved others. He delivered others. But now he cannot deliver himself. Let me just straighten this thing out. He could have if he wanted to. But if it wasn't God's will that he come down from the cross. He had to stay there. And ladies and gentlemen, it took love to keep him on the cross, not to bring him off the cross. It takes love sometimes when you sacrifice. It takes love when you give and nothing is given back to you. All his friends had deserted him, left him alone, and then his mother stood at the foot of the cross, helpless because she couldn't do anything. Someone said he dreaded the wine press of God all alone. But think about it. He was bearing your sins. He was bearing my sins. It should have been me on that cross. But instead, it was a Savior. It got so bad that they had to drape the heavens and shut off the sunlight because of the fact Jesus was dying. Some said it was an eclipse, but an eclipse don't last 3 hours. The Son of God was doing something, and God had to bring the shutters down because that dreadful moment where the one who knew no sin was made sin for us. Ah, that we might become the righteousness of God Almighty. I wish I could preach like I feel today. Yeah, I got some folks in church that they don't usually frequent until Easter. Happy Easter to you. But I'm going to preach to you today. I'm going to tell you that he died for your sin. He could have come down from the cross. He could have called 12 legions of angels, but he didn't call a single one because he knew he had to take the load and the burden of all that you'd done, all that I'd done, all the liquor you drank, all the drugs you use, All the time that you've been sleeping around and doing stuff that you ain't had no business doing, Jesus took your nasty sin, my nasty sin, and washed them all away. If he had not died, you would have no hope. Oh, but wait a minute. If he stays dead, we still don't have any hope, Sean. Look at somebody, tell him, get up, Jesus. He could not stay in the grave because the Bible had said to him, he will see no corruption. If he passed 3 days, then his body would start decaying. So that meant there was a 3-day expiration date on how long he could stay in the grave. I wish I could preach like I feel today. So what did he do? The Bible says that on that third day, the grave got sick. They'd never been sick before. They'd taken some scoundrels. They'd taken thieves. They'd taken murderers. They'd taken a whole bunch of folk. But the grave never got sick before. The grave started heaving because Jesus said, it's time. It's time. And Miss Cabler, early on that Sunday morning, now, his folk, his Christian people, they didn't know what he was doing. Those that believed in him, they thought he was dead and gone. They never thought that he would be dead and arise again. Isn't that good news? The devil had the key, and he checked out with death. Death, how you doing? I don't know. I'm getting mighty sick here. I got somebody. I don't know how long I can hold him. I've held him for 2 days, and he seemed to be all right, but now he's a little bit restless. I've got to do something. The devil said, well, just hold him a little bit longer until the corruption sets in. So devil made a call on that third day morning. How you doing? Oh, man, I don't know. This man Jesus that you delivered over to me, I tried to hold him, but I couldn't hold him. I tried to keep him, but I couldn't keep him. He's got too much power. He's got too much of God. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you that he is God. Created the heavens and the earth. He is God. Oh, and the grave began to rumble. Don't you know what the Bible said? It was an earthquake. Why was it earthquake? I know that it was an earthquake because the stone would roll away. And the stone had to be rolled away not to get Jesus out, but to let you look in and see ain't nobody in that grave. Can y'all bear with me? He rose. He rose, and he didn't just raise up, as some say. He was swooning. You know, that's what some say. He was swooning. No, Jesus said, all power is in my hand. I'm going to get up in here because I got work to do. I got some souls to save. I got some lives to change. I got some gamblers to help. I got some folk that I need to deliver out of darkness and bring them into the marvelous light. I wish I had a witness here. Look at somebody, tell them, get up, Jesus. How you going to get him up? Well, he's already risen. You just don't know it. He's already delivered from the grave. You just don't realize it. Even if you went back to Jerusalem and recreated the whole event, it wouldn't mean anything until you open your heart. Three things you got to do before I close this message. First of all, you've got to believe that he died. He didn't just die by accident. It wasn't the cross that killed him. Many people that examine the medical evidence of how Jesus died, when that soldier pierced his side and out came blood and water, that indicated something. He died of a broken heart. His heart literally burst because of the cares of your sin and my sin. Let me break that down to you. Paul says, knowing that we have been delivered from darkness, how shall we live anymore in it? Knowing that what Christ did satisfied the heart of God, how can you be satisfied doing the stuff that you still... Help me out. How can you say you trust him and you love him and yet you ain't changed? I wish I could talk to somebody. How can you keep on doing what you're doing, knowing you're going to get the same results, and knowing that Jesus loved you so much? You got to give it up if you're going to believe. You got to believe that he died. And one thing I did, I believe that Christ died for my sin. I trusted him because I got to the place I was tired of doing the same old thing and getting the same old results. I wanted to see a change in my life. And ladies and gentlemen, I may not be able to tell it so well, but I can tell you one thing. I know I've been born again. A whole lot of folk may not like how I look and how I preach, but that's all right. That's on you. I know I've been born again. I know I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. I know I've been sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can't make me doubt him because I know him for myself. You got to believe. You got to trust him. Could Jesus have saved himself? No, he couldn't, because he didn't want to. He had decided he was going to do his Father's will. He had decided that he was going to bear that cross all by himself. His blood was shed for him. I'm going to break down three things, and we're going to get up out of here. So what do I need to do in order to realize the resurrection in my life? John 3:16 makes it plain to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I know you've read the scripture. I read it when I was 5 years old, and I asked my mother, it was on a crucifix. I asked my mother, who is this man on this cross? And what do those words say up under the cross? And my mother read them to me. Under that crucifix it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I said, Mama, what does that mean? She said, if you put your name right there, at that whosoever, you will be saved. And I said, Mom, I believe. And I didn't fully believe, because it took the Lord some time later, when I was 21 in South Korea, but I trusted him. I trusted him. In one of the Batman movies, those of you like, how many Batman folk in there like Batman? Okay. One of the Batman movies it had where the city of Gotham was going to be destroyed. And so they had an atomic weapon that they were going to set off. So what Batman did, he decided that he was going to get rid of the bomb. That would have meant that he had to sacrifice his life. Isn't that something? And so in the movie, you see him flying off in his helicopter, and he's flying off into the sunset. All of a sudden, you see a bright light, and Batman is gone. Of course, at the end of the movie, they got to choose another Batman. Isn't that something? In other words, to say to you, okay, one Batman out, another Batman in. But you can't replace the irreplaceable. You cannot duplicate the only begotten Son of God. Notice what it says, the only begotten Son of God. I'm going to help some of y'all out. Some of y'all believe, well, Buddha going to save me. Let me help you out. God only had one son, and his name ain't. I don't have anything against Buddha. I don't have anything against Buddhist. But I can tell you one thing, if you're looking for salvation, you ain't gonna find it in them, because God only had one son to give everlasting life, and his name was Jesus. Like my grandma would say, Jesus. Just help you out. Some people say, well, I believe in Muhammad. Muhammad, may, I don't know him personally. I had a lot of cousins that said they believe in Muhammad. I never knew Muhammad to give everlasting life. Only one. And his name is Jesus Christ. Why do you preach it? Preach? You're being dogmatic. You doggone right I am. Only one Lord. Only one Savior. Now listen, I'm not an anti-this or anti-that. I'm just telling you, if you want to be saved, if you want to be delivered, if you want to be brought out of darkness, you better get to the Lord's altar and cry out to him, Lord, save me from my sin. Look at somebody, tell him you got to believe. But not only must you believe, you must confess. You must confess. Well, preacher, what am I going to confess? You shall confess with your mouth who? The Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. He says, just that simple? Yeah, it's just that simple, because you're not going to do the saving. God's going to do it. How God saves a soul, ladies and gentlemen, is still a miracle. It happened to me, and I still can't explain it. Happened to many of you. You still cannot explain it. When the Lord comes in and causes you to change your life and causes you, all of a sudden your friends look at, hey man, you ain't drinking no more. I don't have a reason to drink anymore. You're not smoking anymore. I don't have a reason to do that anymore. The joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if it didn't give it to me, amen, it can't take it away. Lastly, not only must you confess and believe, but you must also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is impossible for you to live the Christian life and to do what God wants you to do if you're doing it by your own power. Everybody's got their own thing. You got your own Facebook page. You got everything, but I tell you what, you do not have your own salvation. Why should I believe that, preacher? You're going to leave this world one of these days. And they're going to roll you into somebody's funeral parlor or somebody's church, and they're going to say words over you. And I pray that you don't have to put it on a preacher to lie your way into heaven. I pray you don't put that on them. Well, you know, they love the Lord. Hey, wait a minute. When they love the Lord? Now, I agree. Everybody can be saved at the last minute. But why are you going to wait till the last minute when you can have it right now? Before Jesus went away, he made us a promise. He said, but you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. If that wasn't so, wouldn't a soul be in church today? Because Jesus wouldn't have any witnesses. But I can tell you, he's got some witnesses in here. Some of you all have been in some impossible situations. Some of you all have been to your last dime and didn't know how you're going to make it, but the Lord made a way out of no way. That's because the one who died got up from the grave and all power was given in his hand. That's how he can be your way maker today. That's how you can be. He can be your burden bearer today. How many of you all have laid down with a problem but got up with the answer? Won't the Lord do it for you? Won't he bring you out of darkness? Won't he deliver you? And I'm telling you, who wouldn't serve a God like this? We believe in all of our heart that Jesus Christ rose again. This is not just a performance. This is not just going through a service. This is the real thing, ladies and gentlemen. When you talk about superheroes, when you talk about those who deliver people, Jesus still does. You talk about one who always comes through. Jesus still does. And even when you're walking through your darkest midnight, he'll be right there with you to walk through. And he'll keep whispering to you, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So my suggestion to you today as I go to my seat, Who are you going to depend on to be your superhero? Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to call, as it said on Ghostbusters, when you need somebody to help you? You call on the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who is risen from the dead. Even Christ, our Lord and our God. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to trust him as you've never trusted him before. In order for this resurrection to be real to you, Christ has to be alive in you. No more pretending. No more games. No more putting God on the back burner. What I'm asking you to do is to make a commitment to him. And say, Lord, if you haven't used me now. If I've not been available to you, I'm available now. Because I need you to be not only just my Savior that forgave me of my sin, but now the one that is my Lord that I'm dedicated to. Will you do that? And while I can't say that everything is going to be happy ever after, but I tell you what, you'll have peace in your heart. You'll have joy in knowing that you've given Jesus everything. I'll put it to you this way. If he gave you his last drop of blood, will you give him your time? Let's pray. Father, it's in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord, that we come to you today, thanking you for all that you've done and all that you will do. Asking, Lord, that you would be real in us. Help us to understand the things of God. Help us today to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to fight by faith and know that you're with us. God, we thank you for the resurrection of Christ. Thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to bless in your mighty name. I pray, God, that you would just deliver that soul that's in darkness. Help them to realize, God, that you did not bring them this far to leave them now. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do. Save, Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.